Somebody's going to be a big winner tonight. It may be Brock Purdy of the San Francisco 49ers, who was dubbed Mr. Irrelevant because he was the last player selected in the NFL draft, yet becoming the first Mr. Irrelevant to quarterback a Super Bowl team. I guess he's proven himself to be pretty relevant after all. Or the big winner tonight may be the NFL's premier quarterback, Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs. But whether the winning quarterback is Mahomes or Purdy, if they are asked tomorrow if the glory of winning the Super Bowl is just as great the day after the game as the day of the game, they'd probably both say yes. They might even say that the glory is just as sweet a few days afterwards, maybe even a couple of weeks or more. And why not? Fans will still be asking for autographs, sportscasters will still be calling for interviews, and magazines will still be running covers of them kissing the coveted Lombardi trophy and whooping it up. Yes, the glory of being world champions will be at a fever pitch in either San Francisco or in Kansas City tonight. But not for long. Once a new season begins, the only thing that will matter is not who won the last Super Bowl, but who will win the next one. When that new season begins, tonight's winners will have to take off their Super Bowl rings and do their very best to hang on to the glory of being number one. And the only way to do that is to win the big game yet again. Unless another glory-hungry team comes along and steals the glory away. Now, common sense should tell you that a better victory is one you'd never have to defend. That a better trophy is one you'd never have to return. And that the best glory is one that would never fade away. And yet time after time, people toss common sense aside and chase after a glory that is doomed to fade and doomed to fail. That's because the kind of glory the world lavishes on its superstars, its high achievers, and those it deems successful can't ultimately deliver on its promises to make or keep people happy, satisfied, or secure. If it could, then why do so many people who make it to the top, who've made it into the limelight, whose names appear in the headlines, so often crash and burn in their fevered pursuit of yet more and more glory? If winning the ultimate game, the ultimate award, the ultimate prize is so ultimate, then why do teams have to play another ultimate game next year? Evidently, the glory the world gives isn't all that ultimate after all. For example, if you were asked who won the Super Bowl in 1980, would you know? Pittsburgh. What about 1981? Oakland. What about 2022? Because that's only 2 years ago, you might actually remember it was the Los Angeles Rams. Nonetheless, the further away from the winning year we get, the dimmer the winning team's victory fades in our memory. Unless, of course, it was your team that was the winning team. Even so, if the glory of winning was permanent, we would have stopped having a Super Bowl after the first one, played January 15th, 1967. Do you remember who the teams were? Green Bay and Kansas City. Actually, even I knew that, at least that it was Green Bay, thanks to their win in the Ice Bowl, which, being a Cowboys fan, broke Bill's heart. And even though most everybody knows that Bart Starr was the winning quarterback of that Super Bowl, that first Super Bowl, very few could go on to list more than a handful of the 56 other Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. Why? Because the memory of their victory, like the glory that came with it, diminishes with time. And yet just think how many success stories in every field of endeavor risk their fame and fortune, their future and their reputation to hang on to or to recapture the world's phantom glory. A glory that can't ultimately deliver on its promises and is always slipping through their fingers. It's bound to, because as the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:31, this world in its present form is passing away and taking its glory with it. Still, the popular definition of glory as being the sum total of fame plus fortune plus clout has a real grip on our hearts and imaginations. But the smart money is on God's definition of glory. A glory, says 2 Corinthians 4:6, that is imperishable, undefiled, and eternally radiant. This kind of glory doesn't demand special treatment from other people, which the world considers the pinnacle perk of glory, but is instead the glory of service to other people. This kind of glory isn't found in earthly things that can perish, rust, tarnish, decay, get stolen or fade, but is the glory of heavenly things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Appearances to the contrary, no real or lasting glory is to be found in or from this world. Glitz and glamour, for sure, and lots of it, but not glory. Not the glory that counts, the glory that lasts, the glory that is ultimate. But the real deal when it comes to glory belongs to God, and it is His to give, not ours to demand or earn or win. Unlike the glory given by people to people, the glory of God does not perish, rust, decay, tarnish, or lose its luster, nor can it ever be stolen. As the Bible reminds us, as for man, our days are like grass, and all our glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. The wind blows over them and they are gone, and their place remembers them no more. Only God's glory never fades or fails or falls or withers. How could it? It is not beholden to time nor dependent upon circumstances. But worldly glory is captive to both time and circumstances, making it a very poor substitute indeed for real glory. How foolish we are to invest ourselves in seeking a glory that the fickle winds of fate and fortune can so easily wrest from our hands. Far better, says 1 Peter 1:4, to take God's counsel and seek that glory which will never perish, spoil, or fade. The glory of living for the glory of Jesus Christ and of giving up ourselves for the sake of others, even as He first gave up Himself for you and me. His is the glory of giving one's life in service to God and others rather than living only to serve oneself, a dead end if there ever was one, and rightly described as bondage. The glory that God gives is the glory of being given the victor's crown of eternal life, a crown that will never lose its luster, nor can it ever be wrested from our hands. This glory can be yours, not as a prize you can earn, but as a gift you are graciously given. It's not a glory you can take credit for, but comes from the one you delight in giving credit to. It's the glory as of the only Son of the Father who gives to all who believe in him the hope of sharing the glory of God. This glory is given by divine grace, not earned by human effort. It's beyond time. It's not dependent upon circumstances, but it is in seeing, as 2 Corinthians 4:3 through 6 says, the light of the glory and majesty of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's knowing that your sins are forgiven, your guilt cleansed, your soul purified, your eternal destiny secured, and your purpose in life sealed, all by the one who was transfigured on the mountaintop. Millions of people spend millions of dollars on diets and millions of hours in the gym to get a new figure. But of infinitely greater value is being transfigured. This metamorphosis of your heart, mind, soul, and spirit isn't from the outside in, it's from the inside out. It's the changing, the transfiguration by a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit of your priorities, your affections, your aspirations and inclinations, your actions that now please God and serve others to his glory. You no longer desire nor seek self-glory, but the glory of the one who climbed the sacred mountain for one reason and one reason alone: to prepare to climb the sacred mountain of Calvary and to take his place on the sacred cross that awaited him there, the cross of self-sacrifice that would prove his crowning glory and your salvation. Tom Brady, Troy Aikman, Joe Montana, Eli and Peyton Manning and their teams have all won a Super Bowl ring, even more than one. But they didn't know ahead of time that they were going to win. Neither did anyone else. Nor does Brock Purdy or Patrick Mahomes know the outcome of tonight's game. That's because no spoiler alerts are broadcast before the Super Bowl begins. The Mount of Transfiguration, however, was God's spoiler alert. It was God pulling back the veil and letting us see the refulgent glory of the risen Christ before Good Friday, before Easter, before his resurrection and ascension, and before he comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead. God pulled back the curtain of Christ's human nature to reveal the glory of his divine nature, so that with the eyes of faith, you might catch a glimpse of his splendor and majesty, and with the eyes of faith, might see how the game of life ends before the game of life is over. The trophy, the ring, the crown belongs to Christus Victor, Christ the Victor. It was a contest never in question, never up in the air, never left to chance or a coin toss, as every Super Bowl game is. In spite of Joe Namath guaranteeing that his New York Jets would win Super Bowl III. Lucky for him, his prediction came to pass, or he never would have lived it down. But Jesus Christ didn't need luck when it came to quarterbacking the greatest victory of all. The victory over sin, the victory over death, the victory over the devil. A victory won not on the gridiron, but on Golgotha, by the one who, in the beauty of the lilies, was born across the sea with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. Today and for the rest of your life, you have a choice to make. Will you set your sights on gaining the world's glory? Or will you see it for what it is? Flattering, but fleeting. Exciting, but empty. An ego boost, but a soul buster. And say, no thanks. It's not worth it. If there's anything you should know by now, it's that you can't take the glory of this world with you when you leave this world behind. And leave it behind, you will. The only thing you can take with you is the one who will take you with him. The one who won for you a victory that will never need defending. A trophy that will never tarnish. A prize that will never perish. A ring that will never get stolen. And a crown you'll never have to return, but is the unfading crown of eternal life that God has promised to those who love him. How can you not praise God and sing, glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Amen.